JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, very good morning to you.
Yeah, morning, Mike.
Talk to me about negative interest rates. I'm reading a lot about negative interest rates after I've read a lot about the inversion of the yield curve. And so the negative interest rates are real in certain parts of the world. Basically, you pay the bank. Is that what it boils down to?
Yeah, what the heck's it all about? I mean, what the heck is negative interest rates all about? It's the new millennium phenomenon that's sweeping the globe, Mike. And what was an emergency response to the GFC is becoming scarily commonplace, actually. So, yeah, look, I want to talk quickly about interest because, Mike, everything or most things in life have a cost attached to them. And one way to think about interest is it's the cost of money. So one of the things you learn quite early on in the money game is that most financial transactions involve sort of cash flows of some sort. You attach an interest cost to those cash flows, and then you go and do all sort of funky things with them, your net present value of them, or you think about the value of them in a year's time or whatever. But when you get interest rates below zero, a lot of that common wisdom goes out in his head. So you're exactly right. What I actually mean is that you switch it. The bank doesn't pay you interest. You pay the bank, or you pay whoever it is that you're lending the money to. Now, if you think about the numbers, if you're looking at these numbers now, I did a bit of work on this yesterday. So we've now got the entire German government yield curve. So every single German government bond is now negative. 75% of French government debt is at negative yields. 50% of Spanish government debt. Do you remember when Spain was a basket case?
Yes.
Well, 50% of their debt now is trading at negative interest rates. And a few days ago, Deutsche Bank estimated that $15 trillion, that's 23 trillion New Zealand dollars, worth of government debt is trading at negative yields. So this is everywhere. And what does it actually mean? Well, if you buy $1 million worth of a German government bond at maturity, you will receive less than you invested, and that's guaranteed. The real question is, Mike, why would you do this?
Yes.
And if you think interest rates were going to go further negative or more negative, then maybe you could on-sell the bond for a capital gain. Or you're so frightened of other forms of investment, you say a small loss is better than a big loss. The other thing is that you might have an investment mandate that says you must own government bonds. But one has to assume, and what the central banks assume, is that a large proportion of investors will do something else with their money. They'll spend it, they'll invest it elsewhere. Hopefully that'll generate growth and or inflation. But there's a couple of questions you have to ask, Mike. At what stage do people just ask for their money back? Take your money out of the bank and go and store it somewhere.
So well, that's I fear to ask this for it being a stupid question. Why, if I'm paying the bank to take $300,000 of my money, why wouldn't I put it in a safe at home?
So people have worked this out because there's a cost attached to that, and it might not be for your for the sort of average person's amount of money. But imagine if you got $1 million and you go to the bank and you say, can I have my $1 million back? You're probably going to take the security a little bit more seriously. And so there's a cost attached to storing stuff elsewhere.
Yeah.
And that's it. But there's been a lot of work done. At what point is that? Is it minus 0.5, minus 0.65? We now see this mortgage is being offered at negative interest rates as well. So how much money you are actually decreases. I mean, I never thought in my life I'd see
exactly
negative interest rates, Mike. Yeah, but we have.
So these are wacky old times. Now, what I was listening to yesterday as well was Janet Yellen, who once ran the Fed, and she goes, and there seem to be a lot of people going around at the moment saying, yes, this is weird, but it doesn't automatically mean a recession, and a lot of this is about psychology, which is what the RBA deputy governor was talking about, wasn't it? Self-fulfilling downturns.
Yeah, very quickly. We've touched on this previously, Mike. And one key point here. I'm now becoming increasingly sceptical that there'll be any resolution of the trade dispute between the US and China prior to the US presidential election. But equally, there'll be no escalation. But that doesn't mean it won't have an impact. And this is about the self-fulfilling downturn. So businesses wait to see whether the uncertainty is resolved rather than invest. So they don't commit to new spending. They don't commit to buying new plants. So you get this self-fulfilling downturn. The Reserve Bank, Deputy Governor of the Reserve Bank, the RBA, called that out yesterday as well.
All right, mate. What are the numbers?
Right, the Dow Jones, 25,460. It's been all over the place in the last week, up and down. It's down 12 points now. The S&P 500, 2829, down 10. The Nasdaq, 7739, down 34. FTSE 100, lost 81 yesterday, 7067, about 1%. Nikkei, down 249, 20405. The Shanghai Composite gained 7, 2815. The ASX 200, they got smacked. Rugby team might be able to win, but they're share market got smacked down 187 points, 2.85%, 6408. We closed at 10,704, down 145, which was 1.34% fall on the currencies, 0.6449 against the US, 0.9516 Aussie, 0.5802 Euro, 0.5322 pounds, 68.26 yen. Gold trading at $1,525.92. Brent crude, $57.99.
Great effort. You have a good weekend. See you Monday. Look forward to it. Andrew Callagher, JMI Wealth. He and the expertise to be found at jmiwealth.co.nz.